This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Huge win. To me, it was just as beautiful a postseason start as you could possibly have. They had a game plan. They executed it. Pat Murphy was undressed by Carlos Mendoza and really David Stern, because this wasn't just manager versus manager. It was the game plan going in. Mets showed resiliency again. They did it when their backs were against the wall as far as being tired from playing a doubleheader, not having their pitching lined up the way that they wanted to. The bats come alive. Just a perfectly executed game plan by the Mets in game one, setting themselves up now, just needing one of the next two to punch their ticket to the division series round.
Yeah, Sal, there's certain results that are misleading, and then there's certain results that are exactly, you know, representative of who you are. And I think the script last night with the Mets was exactly who they are. I mean, Milwaukee comes out, they're starting to show a little speed, boom, there's a quick two spot, bang, Mets drop three, they respond. Milwaukee comes right back, two in the fourth, all right, Mets fans maybe get a little nervous, bang, Mets drop five. And then you talk about the on-field response, and then even some of the things they decided to do before the game or during the game. Let's give Winker the start despite doing nothing. There's a triple, boom. Then you pinch hit Martinez. There's a two-run single. Vientos in the four spot. I don't know how many times I asked you this before the show. I don't know exactly how many times Vientos batted fourth this year. Not many, though, and he responds right away. And I very easily could have, you know, pulled Seve and just dealt with that in a different way. They didn't. He was rewarded with six more outs. So I think the on-field stuff was very much the Mets. And then once again, a reminder that their manager's been on fire, hitting the right buttons. He knows his team.
If they did not have something as simple as Vientos batting fourth, the way that the game played out, and by the way, it's not accident, because I guarantee you the Mets front office went through certain scenarios. But Vientos batting fourth, right? He was hitting two for a little bit. Obviously, earlier in the year, he was hitting lower than that.
Yep.
But hitting fourth behind Nimmo, the key is that you go a switch hitter, righty, lefty, righty. And then, of course, from down there, they went, you know, Alonso into Winker, so you have another righty, lefty. But atop the order with the lefty, righty, if Vientos is hitting third, let's say, uh-huh, and Nimmo's hitting fourth, then Murphy doesn't make that pitching change because he brings in the lefty to face Brandon Nimmo, lefty on lefty, which doesn't make any sense because Nimmo has equal splits, or at least pretty close to equal splits as you could possibly get. And then he does that move knowing that if he doesn't get Nimmo out, you're going to have to leave the lefty in to face Vientos with the bases loaded. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. That's a win for the Mets. Then he walks Alonso to do lefty-lefty again, and then Mendoza just counters with J.D. Martinez and pitches from Winker. So the Brewers and Pat Murphy were undressed in that game by the Mets being smarter and deeper. Now they're lined up to with success here with Manaea going tonight and a fresh bullpen, specifically Edwin Diaz. So we'll see how it plays out. But the Mets, I don't know how you watched that last night and have any limitations on what this team could do, that this team could go win a World Series.
Pardon me, Sal. And it's all hands on deck. You know, I just looked this up real quick. Yeah, I mean, not many at-bats in the four spot, 14 all year.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is the least amount of at-bats he's had anywhere. So the most was 112 at-bats in the six hole.
Yeah.
The second most was batting fifth with 84. Batting second, he had 77. And then batting third, he had 60. Batting seventh, he had 61. Batting fourth, 14.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's put him in the four spot. First game of the playoffs. Here's two knocks and a couple of ribbies. It worked out.
Pays immediate dividends. So we look forward to watching this game tonight. And this is what it's all about, the playoff games. And you get there and you go watch it. Last, even my wife was into it watching the game.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Was like Sammy wearing that Mets gear?
Went home.
Was she
home.
Up? Was the daughter up?
Sammy was not wearing Mets gear, but she was up when I got home. Matter of fact, like, distracting. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get home.
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as I got home, the game was already on. I listened to the top half of the first. And then I get home, and Sammy sees me, and she's, like, thrown off. But I'm like, Daddy's got to watch baseball. Baseball. She's like, football with Daddy? No. Baseball with Daddy right now. Baseball. So eventually, yes, she watched a little bit. But that's, I mean, these are the games you wait for. Tonight, obviously, a little bit of a later start. Now, what is this that Hoff you just brought in here?
Press release here.
Mets to host the first ever watch party at Citi Field.
Nice.
This is for tomorrow.
Yes.
If there is a game.
If necessary.
Watch party at Citi Field. I like the idea. I think it might be a little early for a watch party.
No.
But if it is an ultimate game three, I get it. They're encouraging Mets fans to come cheer the team into the playoffs while also supporting the amazing Mets Foundation. Let's see. We got a price. Yeah, fans can secure their tickets. $10 donation. Not bad.
That's fantastic.
That goes to the amazing Mets Foundation as part of admission.
Free parking.
Look at that.
Well, no more 40 spot over in Queens.
That's worth the price of admission.
Yeah,
go sit and watch that game. That's a cool thing.
Fantastic.
I would do, younger me, single Sal, 100% I would be into that.
They never did that when we were younger, right? Like the Rangers or the Knicks in the 90s. That's kind of like a...
They might have done it in the 90s for the Knicks or Rangers. Might have.
I feel like I don't remember that. I could be wrong. I feel like it started in... like Oklahoma City. They would have, like in the NBA, they'd have these... venue watch parties, but also like where like outside
outdoor,
the arena kind of deal. I know the Bucks did this.
Yep.
Pacers
Toronto,
have done this.
I think
the Raptors.
That.
You know what? The Raptors one of the first ones. Raptors had a great crowd for that when they won the championship.
I love the idea.
How do you not do this? This is awesome.
I love the idea.
Hoff, you going?
Yeah. What are you saying there, Hoff?
Do you think they'll sell out for this?
No, they're not going to sell out. I don't think you'll sell out.
No way. I mean, come on. But it is appealing. Now, you hope that it doesn't even take place. If the Mets win tonight, it won't. All right, the other thing...
Well, then why not just do it tonight?
Well, probably too late. You're right. They should have had it planned out, no?
I guess. That's a cool thing.
Although
good job by the Mets.
Maybe there is something going on at Citi Field. Who knows? But, right, for game three, all right, if it happens. Or maybe they're thinking a big game, elimination game. People can't be there.
A little more juice.
So be it. Anyway, so we'll keep an eye on what's going on tonight with the Mets in the postseason in Game 2. Also, BT, keep an eye on what's happening with Devontae Adams, who himself now is looking for a trade from the Raiders.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to take away too much for the Mets here because nothing really dramatically has changed from yesterday because you and I did discuss this because he was on Kay Adams on her show. And it came up. The only thing that has changed, and I mean, I guess it's fairly big, is that he now says that he wants out, that he is amenable to a trade and he wants to be dealt. So a couple of questions. Number one, does he want out? Yes. Number two, will the Raiders trade him? I believe the answer is yes. And number three, should the desperate begging Jets be first in line to acquire him? And the answer absolutely is yes. Now, it doesn't mean that this chemistry with Garrett Wilson and Rodgers, which is nowhere to be found, amazingly, and this goes back to training camp, which was problematic, it doesn't solve all their issues. And listen, you're right. When you talk about, there's two different things with Adams. Does he save their season? Not necessarily. Is it worth the risk? Of course, because he's not going to protect Rodgers with pass blocks or maybe shore up the run defense. But to me, you got to do whatever you got to do to salvage this season. And going to London against a really good Vikings team with Darnold and a great defense and a really good DC and suddenly an old-looking Rodgers, if Jets aren't first in line, the Jets are sleeping.
We discussed this earlier, but I'm going to bring up a different part. And in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. What if the risk was not being able to sign Reddick, meaning they bring Devontae Adams in? And I don't know this, but it doesn't look like the Jets have a ton of cap space to work
with.
They
don't.
So is it either Adams or Reddick? Because if it is that, then to me, I'm going with Reddick. I think Reddick is more impactful, more instrumental, more key to the Jets having success than it would be bringing in Davante Adams.
I could see that, but I feel like Hassan Reddick is too emotionally unpredictable, so that's not a game that I'm willing to play. Like, yeah, can I make the case that Reddick's inclusion on the defense would elevate the Jets as a team maybe more than Adams? I can make that point. But if Hassan Reddick has no interest in playing football, and I don't think the Jets know what he's even remotely thinking, I know that the Adams-Rodgers pairing would absolutely flourish.
So what if Joe Douglas has to make that choice, and it's either give Reddick what he wants, and he's going to play. Like, Reddick will play. Mm-hmm. You just got to give him what he wants.
Yep.
Or make the trade for Davante Adams.
I would make the trade for Davante Adams, and I would try to find somebody before, I think the trade deadline's November 5th, Hoff, maybe you can verify, I believe it's November 5th, maybe try to find somebody that's not even a big name, just a run stuffer from somebody else that you can just bring in and just plug in the middle and go from there. But listen, bottom line, Sal, it's already not perfect for the Jets.
It's getting late early for the Jets, and a tough game in London coming up against the Vikings this Sunday. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Hold on one second, Tom. Let me get this read. I got distracted by this other read. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tom is in West Babylon. What's up, Tom?
Sal and BT, listen, if you guys give me a chance, I'd like to say something on my amazing Mets, and of course I got a comment on the Jets, but we're in baseball mode. Sal, I don't know how much more my heart can go, but this is great for the organization and the fans. This is a win-win.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm so excited.
They're in the postseason. Yeah, well, why can't your heart take it? This is what it's all about. I mean, you beg for this as a fan. You should want this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm not going to make no predictions. Let's not make predictions, Sal, because every time me and you say something, it goes the other way.
That's not true. So, that's factually inaccurate.
Okay.
I mean, I don't remember your predictions, Tom, but I predicted back in July that the Mets would be a wild card team, and here we are. So.
Oh, no. This year, but in 2022, you thought we were going to go in and take care of business, and I cried.
Correct. Correct. Do you want to go back to anything I said in,
high school?
Yeah. I mean, how long are we going to go back here?
We got it.
Tom, think about this. I love you too, Tom, and I appreciate that. But think about it. Like, we're 2 years removed from that. The Mets are rolling right now. They're in the playoffs. They just won an incredible game where most people say the most incredible game in franchise history in the regular season on Monday. They win a playoff game last night, and you're calling to talk about what I said in 2022.
No. I said me and you.
I got you, Tom. It's okay. Go ahead.
Now let's go to the Jets. I seriously think at the stage we're at right now, we have to push everything in for Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Reddick, I can't trust him. He said something. He went against his word. Get him in here, because once you get him in here, it opens the door for Wilson. And we got to get on track, and this could be a great season.
It could be, it could be over in a couple of weeks here.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for the call there, Tom, no doubt. But listen, you went this far. I mean, you go out, you get Rodgers, you know, you get a 33-year-old Hall of Fame left tackle. I mean, all the things that they've done, you don't stop now. Now, if he wasn't available, and we're having a discussion, wow, maybe you could coerce the Raiders for Davante Adams because he's great and he's Aaron Rodgers' buddy. I mean, that's just a waste of time. He wants out. The Raiders aren't going to win. And we knew that this was going to pop up. This is not a surprise. So you've got to be first in line and you've got to be most aggressive. Now, the bad thing is, Sal, that Raiders know the Jets are desperate. And when you're dealing from that power or lack of power, I should say, that position, that is the worst spot to be in from a business perspective. It doesn't matter. You gotta do it.
To me, the worst thing would be not being able to then sign Reddick or get him there. Now, I mean, I guess you could hope that you trade for Adams and Reddick decides at some point he's going to play, and then you have both.
Yeah.
But if it's an either or, meaning you, like the Jets, to me, the thing I'd be screaming about would be get Reddick on the field now. Because they need help, clearly. Although it's not like imperative right now. The Jets have many issues that they need to fix. But If I'm going to be screaming about one thing, me, personally, I'd rather them get Reddick on the field as opposed to making a trade for Davante Adams.
Listen, and don't you think, Sal, so it is November 5th, the trade deadline here. So it's October 2nd. Doesn't it behoove the Raiders to trade him today or tomorrow?
They need to move on from it.
Well, yeah, no, but think of it, for sure. He's not going to play for the Raiders. I don't think he takes another snap for the Raiders, and I'm almost going to guarantee that he's dealt where. I don't know. He's going to be an ex-Raider, but if you're the Raiders, just to maximize their leverage, you want to trade him now because that means more games for whatever team acquires him.
Right.
You're not going to string this thing out till like Halloween. Trade him this week.
Also, more teams in it now.
Yes, yes, yes.
You would think that you'd have a little more leverage that way. Now, does Davante Adams have any say in this? He's got his contract.
The only thing that he, listen.
Because if he does, you would favor the Jets, you would think.
Yeah, he's got unspoken say. Like, I don't know that he has quite literal say,
right,
like contractually, but all he has to do is say, hey, listen, if the Steelers acquire me, I'm not going there.
Or the Browns. I saw the Browns have a bunch of cap space.
Oh, I didn't even see the Browns are mentioned?
I saw them come up in one of the graphics here with a lot of cap space. So let's just say Cleveland was like, hey, you know what?
Yeah, we'll take a swing for him. I mean, all he has to do is communicate to the front office of the team that is going to try to get him. And all he's got to do is say, hey, listen, you can make the trade. I'm not playing for you. And then they're going to not make the move, which obviously can force a trade to the Jets. I mean, if he wants to be a Jet, he will be a Jet.
You know the former Packer that the Jets really need? Because I'm just thinking about it in my head. Like, they get Rodgers, great. You have Alan Lazard, great. Potentially Davante Adams, great.
Is this a joke?
Well, Matt LaFleur, that's the one you really need. You need the head coach. That's the one that matters. Because I'm just trying to think, like, oh, wow, Rodgers will have Adams again. Well, yeah, he's got Lazard, and we saw this in Green Bay.
Yep.
The difference is they had a well-run foundation functional of an organization. I mean, a functional foundation of an organization led by a good head coach. They know what they're doing. And the Jets just don't have that. So you can bring in all the former weapons that Rodgers had.
Yeah. Bring in the one that's going to hit the buttons. Let me ask you this. Now, Mets, obviously, but just from a Jet perspective, they go to London and they look gross. How are we not on the air saying, you got to change the coach already?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like in the NFL, when have we seen in season coaching changes
work or happen?
Yes, work.
Yeah,
rare that it happens at this point in the season, period.
It's early.
It's way early.
Yeah.
And then B, when does it work? Like, all right, last year, when did the
Antonio Pierce brought some nice stability?
When did they fire McDaniels? Because that was kind of early, wasn't it?
If I had to take it, I mean, I'm guessing. Well, it was after I was, did Pierce coach when I was out there? Because I went to the game in November. I feel like it was around, I think it was in October.
Okay, which is early for that type of change to happen.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's a good question, but then I would also say, how many teams, I'm going to flip it with a question to you, I don't know the answer rhetorically, how many teams fire a coach this early and have it rally, but also have the talent base the Jets have? Like, a lot of times when a guy gets fired, there's just not much there
right
to really even reignite, if you
which
will.
Which is why it would work.
It could work.
If you plugged in the time to do it, obviously, would be, when is their bye? They pushed it back, right?
They don't have it after London. Yet. I think it's 11. I'm off the top. Maybe that's a little bit late. I could be off on that.
But there's one guy that I'm thinking, like, what would be, okay, let's just say, hypothetically, they lose to Minnesota Sunday morning.
Yep.
You want to make the change. Where are they going? Like, it can't. The answer can't be Hackett or Olbrich.
I know.
The easy, because usually that's what happens.
But then how do you bring somebody from outside the building to try to change this midstream? That's tough. Listen, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying they might have to do something.
No, I know. Belichick to me would be the only guy.
Could you imagine?
Bob is in Hamden, Connecticut. Wow. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
So to me, the biggest thing is the Jets figuring out how to stop the run. And adding another mouth to feed on offense, I don't really see that being a good thing. So if we're going to trade for Davante, who's leaving, and, you know, what's it going to cost to do it? And I'd rather just focus all our energies and efforts on stopping the run a lot better with Reddick, or trading for some big run stuff in defensive alignment. That seems the way to go to me.
Yeah, I got Reddick doesn't stop the run, though. He doesn't do that. And by the way, Sal, have you seen the numbers on Bryce Huff, just as a quick aside?
I saw one that he has.
Oh, my God.
He has one more quarterback pressure than Reddick, somebody tweeted.
He's been awful. He's been a zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Can you redo that trade?
I mean,
yeah.
Both teams probably would. That's the crazy part.
Trade Reddick and bring back Huff. Yeah, both teams would do it.
Although the way Huff has played, the Jets wouldn't want to give him that money, but he does plug into this defense better. That's a weird one. Oh, my God. It's very disconcerting. Here we are. And it's early, and it feels late already for the Jets. The Yankees get to relax a little bit, watch some teams beat each other up, and then they get a chance to dive in and make their own run. And to help us get into that, of course, the great Susan Waldman, who's been joining us the last couple of weeks here on the show. And our conversation with Susan brought to you by Empower Solar. Susan, BT and Sal, how you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. You know, I was listening to Howie, and I had no idea the Mets and Phillies had never played in postseason. We have to make that happen.
That's what I'm saying. My partner would be an absolute deranged lunatic. Everybody, that would be crazy. Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
I can't wait to see that, as long as I can watch it from afar.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, the thing is, while the Yankees get to chill a little bit here, Susan, the pressure is coming very soon. For the superstar player who's got to prove, he's got to have a Reggie moment at some point. For the manager who's got to win. Can you speak to the pressure that the Yankees face going into this postseason?
You know what? If you talk to these guys, and I assume you're talking about Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone.
Yes.
They put so much pressure on themselves. They know it's a thing. Aaron Judge handles this about as well. I can't think of anybody that handles pressure the way Aaron Judge does, because he's by himself. And obviously Jeter did and all those people. But Aaron Judge is actually kind of a different cat, and I don't think that they feel external pressure. I think that they've been trying very hard to block it all out and just do what they're supposed to do. As far as the manager is concerned, I have something that I have said for a while now. I understand the pressure that Boone is under, and whether he feels it or not, we're never really going to know, because he always tries to stay the same. But think of this team. Think about this team, and he knows all the things that have been said about him also. Where they've got no production, pretty much, out of left field. They've got no production till Jazz walked in the door at third base. They've got no production all year, really, out of first base with a few games. And really, except for Austin Wells' offensive things a while ago, no production out of catcher offensively. And the bullpen has blown up. It's back together now. How bad could the manager actually be?
Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local pitch hit and run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's a very good point, but the standard for the Yankees is different. You got to win a championship, Susan, at some point. You have to.
Well, but you have to at some point. They haven't won in 15 years. So, I mean, it would be really – this year, I think – here's my feeling about this year. Everybody has major flaws. So I think anyone could win this.
Yep.
I think the Yankees could go all the way. I also think the Yankees could be knocked out by whoever, Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans. I mean, it's easy to see either side. And I think it's because of the way the baseball season is. But there's no great team out there. And you know, there's talent on the Yankee team. Is this a great team? I'm not so sure. You know, it's carried by pretty much two people.
Is there anybody, Susan, that you think is a better matchup for the Yanks? Like, would you rather face, I know you probably don't care, but would they rather face Baltimore or Kansas City?
No. And if they do, they're keeping it to themselves. As Aaron Boone said to me, I've asked him every day. He gives me the same answer. He says, be careful what you wish for.
How do they stay sharp here? I mean, listen, I could answer the question.
If they knew, they would do it. I know they're going to do sim games. Yeah. I know they're going to face live batters. They can bring up guys, I guess, from the minor leagues or complex. There's the Stay Ready group that's down in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because teams last year didn't do it. Look at the teams that were knocked out, and it's all in that, was it, Philly, Atlanta, and the Dodgers?
Yeah, you're right. So
they were all out. I don't know what they do. Yeah. I don't know what they do. Does Garrett Cole, he pitched to hitters yesterday. Do they have two bullpens? Carlos Rodon, I've asked him. He's pitching game two. He said, I think I did this once before. I had two full bullpens. But if they knew what to do, they would all do it, and no one would be rusty. And we'll see what happens on Saturday.
What do you think the Yanks have learned about Carlos Rodon in year two?
I don't think it's what the Yankees have learned so much as what Carlos Rodon did to change himself and to be the pitcher that he thought he was always going to be. It took a while. He walked in here. The injuries obviously set him back. But he is a real self-starter. And over the year, and I think, quite frankly, it took him a while to stop being stubborn and to learn to get used to those other pitches, because they'd been telling him nobody can get through your entire career with a fastball and a slider. Yours is really good. But he, in his mind, I think, thought, I've done this. I got this big contract doing nothing but throwing fastballs and sliders. When they added the cutter, when they added the curve, and they added the change to him, I think he resisted it because I think he was getting beaten on those things. But over the winter, he was a real self-starter. He was not going to walk in here and get booed and be embarrassed again. And the biggest thing about Carlos Rodon this year is that he stayed healthy. And over his career, that has been the problem with him.
BT and Sal, we're talking with Susan Waldman. Susan, what's your biggest concern with this team going into the postseason?
That they're not going to hit.
Oof.
Oh, at see, all? I love that answer.
I didn't say not at all. When this team has lost, why has it lost?
Yep.
Because there's not enough offense. But we're seeing a lot of other things. We've seen over the last week or so, we've seen more moving the runner. We've seen more bunting. And if you look at the teams that are playing now, they're all doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done. The days of sitting around and waiting for Judge and Soto, you can't do that in the playoffs, and they know it. And I think that's been the problem with the Yankees when they've gotten beaten. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been the pitching. Why have they been knocked out of the playoffs in a while? Because nobody hit. It was the offense that was the problem, not the pitching.
You're 100% right, and that's why I thought some of those games, aside from the fact that they were actually wins and they mattered as they tried to secure the best record in the American League, but some of those games against the Royals, I thought that was really important, because it is possibly a foreshadow into October baseball. But I think that's a deeper question, or at least a deeper issue for me. Your answer is you don't know if they're going to hit, and you're right. How do you not hit with a $300-something million payroll?
I don't know that that has anything to do with anything. You could pay me $300 million. I wouldn't hit.
Yeah,
I don't think the money has anything to do with it. I really don't. And I know that that's, well, if you've got a, but how much of that salary is on just a few players?
Yeah.
That's the problem. You look at the other people. So Glaber is in one of his I'm going to hit. I don't worry about him. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen at first base. You do know that Jazz Chisholm is going to hit. You know that he's going to do a lot of other things also to try and get on base. I like their chances, but we've also seen them get in this, well, Soto and Judge are going to do it. And that, quite frankly, is not enough in the playoffs. It usually is not, particularly with these kinds of pitchers. We saw this when they just lost games to Baltimore. That's exactly what you saw.
Did Dominguez take himself off the field with that defense last week or so?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's going to, a lot of this is going to, I read things that's going to be Cole, Rodon, and Heal. I'm not so sure.
Heal to the bullpen?
Well, I don't know that you do that. I don't know that you do that either. There's three games. I think it's going to depend. They really love what Clark Schmidt has done. I think it's going to depend on game one. If Gerrit Cole falls down the stairs in the first inning in the dugout and has to be replaced by somebody, it'll be one of those two. So then what do you do for game three? Then the other one pitches. But I think they're split on this, and they're going to wait to see who they're going to play. I think it's going to be a little bit different depending on whether it's Kansas City or Baltimore. Both teams, by the way, very athletic, run, do a lot of things. We watched Kansas City and what they can do with a couple of players. You know, they're complementary players, and there's Bobby Witt and Salvi Perez. But you watch how they take the extra base, and you watch how athletic they are, and I think you're going to have some of that.
Maybe there's not a favorable or more favorable matchup one way or another for this round, Susan, but you've covered this team. Obviously, you've been with them all year long. Who's the biggest threat of the rest of the teams in the American League?
Oh, yeah. Until they put a dagger in the heart of the Houston Astros, I need them to beat them. I mean, and I know it's not the same team. I absolutely understand it. But I think that I would love to see. I want them to, they're going to have to come here, the Astros, this time. I don't know that they can get out of their rounds with their pitching either. But I would just love to see that. That's my heart talking in my head. I don't think it matters to them, actually. I don't think that they think that in the American League there's someone that's, that's harder than the others. Some might say Cleveland, but I think it's been a long time since they've seen them. But my heart wants them to go and beat up on the Astros. I'm sorry, I just do.
I do too. You're not alone. Absolutely. Susan Waldman with us here, BT and Sound on the Fan. He's young. He's got tools. He's flashed those tools. But how important is it, do you think, I don't want to say organizationally, because they're not going to move off of him, obviously, but just the perception of Volpe that he shows something here in October?
Well, I think that everybody wants to show something in October. I mean, he's their shortstop, and he's going to be their shortstop. He also, the last few games, has started, his highs and lows this year have been really high and really low. And I think that, that he just keeps his head down and he keeps going. And of course it's important. It's important for everybody to contribute. But I think people think that there's got to be repercussions. If Anthony Volpe goes 1-for-20, what do you think is going to happen? It's not going to happen. It would be really nice if he didn't go 1-for-20. Mm-hmm. But as long as he's playing great shortstop, and I don't know what they think. It's not like there's repercussions happening. Does the manager get fired if they get knocked out in the first round? Somebody's got to do something. I don't know.
What have you been doing?
I don't know, but I...
Sorry.
It's like all these questions, everybody asks them, and I ask them too. It's not like, I mean, what are you going to do if he's 1-for-20? He's your shortstop.
What have you been doing with all this time off, Susan? You have all this time off here. Yankees are resting. What have you been doing with your time off?
Well, I don't rest.
Well, what are we looking at? Dinners, play? What do we
garden,
got?
The garden, right?
No. I've got stuff in the corner that I've had to do. I had to go to the vet this morning. I had to take the dog to the vet. There's a lot of things to do.
It takes 2 hours. That's you had a week off. All those to take.
I haven't had a week off.
No?
Have I had a week off? No. Monday, Tuesday, it's 3 days.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
How excited are you? Just, we believe this is the final run with John here. I mean, it's Susan and John.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great. I got people, I get texts from people that said it sounds right, doesn't it? It's October, it's playoffs, and you know, if this is a final, and he says it is. And I just think it's because he, you know, all of a sudden he was gone, and you don't get to go out the way you want to. And it's been fun. It's like, you know, it's actually great, and it's really easy for me. And it's we know what we're thinking, and we finish each other's sentences, and that's what happens when you work together for 20 years.
You've been getting hit up for tickets, Susan?
I don't know. These are different. No. I don't do tickets. You have to buy these.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, though. But aren't people like, hey, Susan, you know, Yankee postseason, it's going to be the hottest ticket in town. I know we're giving a bunch away on the fan.
I've got 20 in my desk, right. No. I don't. No, what you have to do is that I would have to buy them. And then I did this for a few years. I have to buy them, and then I have to be like a ticket broker and dole them out. And then people complain they're in the wrong place. And how come I have to sit here? And how come I'm not sitting here? So I don't do it anymore.
That's why I asked, because we get that to a much lesser level. I remember working with Mike. Oh my God, it used to drive him nuts. It used to drive me nuts, but it was the amount of people that would hit him up. So I'm assuming you, Susan, the voice of the Yankees, everybody that you know, hey, Susan, how about tickets? And meanwhile, you're like,
But what it is that people that you haven't heard from in years call, and I'm so excited because someone finally called me, and then, you know, ask after, how are you, and I should have been calling you, and I'm really sorry. By the way, as soon as you hear the by the way, I know what's coming. And usually it's a by the way, and I'll pay for them, but can you get me 5 tickets? Yeah.
Susan, you got to cut those people off. Those people are not real people.
I cut them off, but my problem is that I never changed my cell phone over years. And there was one day I just looked at my phone and I said to nobody in particular, doesn't anybody really like me?
Well, we like you, Susan. That's why you're on with us.
Oh, but you didn't ask me for tickets.
Not yet.
That was a follow-up. By the way, we're struggling. Can we get a couple?
I don't have any. And by the way, postseason, there's no freebies. There's no comps. The Steinbrenners don't even get comps. This is other stuff here. I have no tickets, and even if you want to pay for them, my answer would be, of course you would pay for them, but I don't have it.
I got you. Listen, here's to a long, lengthy run through October. Great spot, and can't wait to hear you guys on Saturday. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too. That is Susan Waldman, brought to you by Empower Solar. Supercharge your savings and electrify your life.
It is the biggest misnomer, I think, in the sports business.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just thinks, oh, you work at SNY, or oh, you work for the fan. You get tickets? Like, sometimes, sure, but no. Like, oh, Susan, you're the voice of the Yankees. You got free tickets? No, leave me alone. Like,
We did throw a line in the water early, and did you get those Yankee tickets might be coming through on this end.
Oh.
I mean,
well, how many did you get?
I don't know.
Did you get enough for the show, or just enough for you and Colt?
Depends.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Still mad at me?
Look at you. Hey, you want the ratings to go up? We should tell that story.
Oh, Jesus. That was hysterical. Would you go?
I would strongly consider it. Are you seriously going or no?
I am seriously. If I get tickets, I am.
We're going to have to talk about it off the air.
We'll talk about it off the air.
Yeah.
I mean, it is different. I mean,
Saturday night. But
the Mets win tonight, the Mets would they play Saturday night?
Yes.
No, not the same time. There's no way.
That's the big problem. I was actually texting with Evan about this last night because the start times came out for the next round. Phillies game 1 and 2, Saturday and Sunday.
What time?
4:08. Both days. So
that could work out. Yankees at night.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough getting
there. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, to watch the game is tough.
Matter of fact,
I was considering, like, all right, well, maybe I drive down to Philly. My wife's got some friends coming over.
Well, this guy's just going everywhere. He's going to be booking Masters tickets pretty soon. Going down to Augusta, Georgia.
I'd love to do that. Have you ever been?
I have not been to Augusta.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But point is, this weekend, we're just talking about that during the break.
Yeah.
If the Mets make it this weekend, is going to be beautiful chaos.
Yeah.
Mets 2 games.
Yep.
Yankees 1 game. Jets 9:30. Giants 4:00.
It's awesome the Jets are early.
Yeah.
Like, I usually hate the early games, but that one actually helps us out.
We had Howie on at 11. Susan just now, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We got to get Susan on one of these times, BT. She's on Wednesday anyway, and I have a three-hour queue with her.
Oh, she'd be good at that.
She'd be great with the three random questions.
Yeah?
I mean, we kind of hit her with some random stuff anyway. She's always fun with that. But
I like it.
I cannot wait to get into this weekend. We're just talking about it. You get the Yankees game one Saturday, potential Mets game one NLDS Saturday afternoon, Jets 9:30 in the morning, London Vikings. It couldn't be a massive game. It couldn't be a bigger regular season game considering what happened, who they're playing, like all the above. Mets potentially game two division series, Giants fighting for their season here, 425 in Seattle.
And then Monday,
Yankees, like this is...
And what's around the bend there? You got the Knicks trying to make a championship run, you got the Rangers trying to make a championship run.
When do the Knicks start? Do we have a date?
They start a camp.
The regular season. Is it end of October? We were going over this the other day.
I want to say October 20-something, maybe.
I'll be here before you know it.
Soon, man.
Did you pick out your Halloween costume yet?
I did not. Why?
Me neither, because I'm just thinking about it. We were talking about the end of October. October 22nd. And that's against Boston, right? In Boston or at the Garden?
That is in Boston, I believe. Okay. Now, wait, are you still getting dressed up? Now, Sandy's three.
Yeah, three and a half. She'll be four. We definitely got to do it as a family.
You doing one more family thing? We did that a couple of years.
At least one more, but
we got to get one more out of it.
I think we're leaning toward, she switches like what she loves by the week. I think we're leaning right now toward Winnie the Pooh.
Ah, Winnie.
So I'll be Winnie the Pooh. I told my wife she could be Eeyore and maybe Sammy be Tigger or Piglet.
That's
but I guess
cute.
Sammy's going to be.
Yeah, a little bowl of honey in there as well.
Yeah, figure that out. What do you guys think?
No, we're not doing it as a family anymore. We're past
kids
that.
Kids are too old now.
No, they'll dress up. They'll do some stuff. I told you. I said that. We got a text, and I actually think my son and his best buddy are getting dressed up as Goldust and Doink.
That's right.
I'm not kidding. I'm like, what's going on?
I did say that.
Why are we stretching this thing out?
That's got to be Jen's idea, no?
No, it was the other family. Just kind of threw a line in the water. So
that's a great idea.
When did you stop? Like, see, the thing that I remember about Halloween in Brooklyn, it was like vandalism. Like, we would throw eggs at buses. And did you guys do that on Long Island? The shaving cream, the eggs, and all that stuff?
Yes, the sock with flour in it.
You did that?
That's
that
why
was
I
like
never
a 1960s thing.
Yeah, whatever.
You guys did that?
Did I do anything with it? No, but I do remember at least one year having a sock with flour in it.
Are you serious?
Like, what's wrong with people and kids that be doing that? The eggs, yes.
Oh, the
shaving
eggs were
cream,
awesome.
Yes.
God, the eggs were so much fun, just pelting people.
I didn't like it, dude. I was
always,
I didn't like any of that trouble. I didn't want anything, yeah.
I could see Hoff in the middle of that. There's no doubt that Hoff was firing eggs on the avenue.
You guys
absolutely.
You guys are creating 100%. Havoc. What were you doing? What were you doing? Throwing eggs at houses or something?
Yeah, and everything. People, buses, cars, you name it. Honestly, and I know this is sad. This sounds demented now, but we would throw it, and every once in a while, like you would have like the rogue bus driver stop, or somebody stop the car and chase you. Like, that's what we wanted.
Yeah.
We wanted them to chase us.
I don't remember throwing eggs at school buses. I do remember one time very vividly just nailing a school bus with snowballs.
Oh, yeah.
My buddy and I just just lighting the school bus up. So much so, and we did it right from my front lawn. It was
Because they know where you live.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Yeah, we got suspended. We got like detention or whatever.
How old were you guys? Because the grade matters there. Like,
probably,
if you're in third grade, it's cute. If you're in eighth grade, it's probably a little more punishable.
Definitely not third grade.
Okay.
This was, I would say, probably 12 or 13.
Oh, yeah, I broke somebody's windshield by accident. I told you that story. I didn't know it was all ice, and I actually fired it from, oh, God. And his windshield actually splintered like the spider, and I was near my home. And
Dad must have liked that one.
Well, Dad wasn't home, thank God, but he almost put me through a wall when he got home. And then the guy saw where I ran, and ding dong, look at my windshield. Man, big problems that
God,
day.
God, man, kids, we do such stupid things.
No, they don't do that anymore, though.
I hope not.
They don't.
And same thing with the Halloween.
They do worse stuff.
Wow.
I think they do more dangerous stuff. Maybe not quite as, like, overt, like, you know, throwing things and like that harmless fun, if you will. But the things that the kids do now, I think, are in a lot of ways more damaging.
Colt going to be walking around with eggs on Halloween?
Nah, I don't think they do that. No, certainly not at this age.
Okay.
I don't think they do that in the suburbs
Shaving
anymore.
Cream?
I don't think they do it
Remember
anymore.
Like the little string of confetti thing that used to be kind of?
Well, we used to do it. I used to do this when I used to spray paint because, I used to love doing graffiti. So I would take the, what a vandal. I would take the, you would get a bottle cap and you would put a little piece of, like either a toothpick or a little piece of plastic in the little hole. And then you would burn it. You would get would get a lighter.
Yes.
You would, so then
Shoots
now.
Out.
Yeah, it would zzz, like a real, like a Spider-Man web, like a zzz.
Right, I remember doing that with the shaving cream.
All the tricks.
Taking my dad's barbasol.
100%.
BT and Sal on the fan. Popcorn Rob is calling from Babylon. What's up, Popcorn?
Bobby.
Hey, BT, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
Okay, so, listen, guys. All right, so, BT, you're going to be the moderator.
Okay.
And because it seems like we have to have moderators and everything nowadays. So, Sal, Merry Mary Buckmiss.
No, Mary Buckmiss. What is with you guys?
What's going on? I'm gonna say this. Yeah. You thought that I was, remember when I made a statement? I had said something to the fact that we're going out and getting Buck Showalter with the Mets. I said that because he's old. The guy, you know, he was with Baltimore. I can remember. When he used to play, you know, when they played against the Yankees.
No need to moderate this or relive it. You were right. Carlos Mendoza.
But listen, Sal, I'm going to say that I was wrong about something too, though, Sal, because now I got to pay homage to your boy Aaron Judge because you remember I was very critiqued on him as well. So I got to say, I mean, if you got this guy Andrew Jones, whatever his name, Jones, that is the quarterback for the Giants, making $40 million a year, so I had to kind of double back and say, wait a minute, he's not even worth that, and they're ready to give that willingly. So I got to realize that inflation is high, and so these are the salaries that these guys...
Popcorn, you're all over the place, and we do appreciate the call. Been a while since we've heard from you.
Huh, sounds like you just straddled back from Woodstock.
Just stick to the one thing. Popcorn Rob used to be a big break dancer. Was he? Yeah, I forget what he called it. There must have been another name for it. But anyway, he went into his crew?
You mean his crew?
Yeah, his prowess. Pop and log, whatever the hell it was. Anyway, we appreciate the call, Popcorn.
Stick to the point
about Buck Showalter. Because I will admit, I love the hire of Buck. I was into it. This is a great manager. Can't do any better. And it did work for the first year. But what the Mets have gotten from Carlos Mendoza is a billion times better than what they had with Buck Showalter. It's not trying to disparage Buck,
not
although I have my issues there.
Yeah.
But this is the perfect hire, and the organization is better off for it. They're working cohesively, all the above. It's smart. He's got the delicate balance of being a player's manager, but also being a guy who's going to hold guys accountable. He's got the right touch of analytics and just his eyes. Mendoza blows away anything that Buck Showalter was with the Mets.
I think Buck was a very good hire at the time. I thought that he brought back respect, and I think he kind of centered the balance of the Mets, who were very wobbly at that point, and then it expired. You know, Buck kind of lost his touch, and we talked about this in real time where, you know, guys get hit by pitches. Like the first year, he was so locked in, and they won 101 games, and everything that he touched worked out, and fundamentally, they were just buttoned up and locked in, and then, you know, it kind of dissipated in year two, and what happened happened, and they never really recovered, and the optics... It was a lack of energy, and what he was emitting to me was less than the previous year. And Mendoza has seamlessly not only slid right in, but he's just been better.
I'll give Buck credit.
More modern.
You give Buck credit for his first year.
100%.
And maybe the most important thing is getting Lindor to understand New York.
Yeah,
that was probably big. The biggest feather in his cap as a Met. The way that the organization is working now with Stearns and the front office and Mendoza together is like you couldn't have a bigger disparity from this to what it was with Buck Showalter. It was messy.
Yep.
It was unhealthy.
There was a disconnect. Not wanting
major
to play
disconnect.
Guys. Vogel back. And remember?
Big issues.
Yeah.
This is the way you want it.
And Buck didn't want to play young kids. So, you know, if
Vientos.
Buck, that's what I was going to say. If Buck is the manager still, is Vientos, you know, not that Vientos wouldn't have gotten a shot, but if he didn't produce right away, would Buck, you know, keep running him out there? Probably not. So, listen, it worked out well. And it's not to disparage Buck. Buck's a phenomenal baseball man. He just, you know, I'm not even going to say the game passed him by, but for this situation, Mendoza's perfect.
BT and Sal on the fan will come back. Talk more Mets, 888-808-1019, the number to call.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.